who will speak for approximately 15 minutes. Is there anyone who will time Laura?
Okay. What do you want, Laura?
I'm 5'5 and 5 is great. Yeah, thanks.
Okay, please help me in welcoming Laura.
So I'm Laura. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm a recovering bulimic.
Hi, Laura.
I am extremely grateful to be here today. I was asked to speak. There was a message on my answering machine when I came back early from a vacation because I re-injured my back. And I was in acute pain. And because I've learned to take better care of myself, I didn't answer the message right away. I waited until the next day and knew that I wanted to do the service, but I wasn't sure that I'd be able to. And that's what I told the person at the time. And Sherry very graciously called me two more times during the week. And by the first time she called, I knew that this was really important for me to get here. And that there's something about doing service that in itself is healing. And so much of this I look at faces in here, and it's hard not to, to tear up. People I've known and have been so important in the healing process that I've gone through for years. I grabbed a welcome chip. I've never taken a welcome chip before, and for some reason, I wanted to have a welcome chip today because I think that this kind of expresses what this program has awakened in me, really, is being able to receive welcome. To be able to give welcome at a deeper level and to be vulnerable, you know, to who I really am and to who you really are and just be present with that. So we talk about the three aspects of the program, the physical, the mental, I think of it as the mental, emotional, and the spiritual. And I'm going to try to kind of say how it was, what happened, and how it is now, kind of focusing on those three aspects at those different times in my life. See how that goes. Mm-hmm. So I realized the other day that I think the first evidence of my compulsive eating, my using food in order to soothe myself, was when I stole money out of a little glass jar that my father used to keep subway tokens and his change in his drawer. I was probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 at the time. I would steal money out of there and I would go downstairs. We lived in an apartment building in New York and I could hear the Good Humor truck ringing outside. And I would go and I would buy Good Humors. Not one Good Humor. I don't remember how many I ate, but I multiple Good Humors when I would do that. And it was actually something that I, long after he was dead, I made an amends to him for in another program because I recognized that was, you know, I was stealing, I was dishonest, and I never did tell him about it. But so even as a child, I had little glimmerings of some sort of spiritual connection. I think I was very fortunate in that respect. It came out in singing. I was in church choirs and in school choirs, and I had a really lovely, soft, accepting grandmother, and I think just being with her was also a kind of spiritual connection. I don't know that I would have said that at the time, but in retrospect, I can see that. As far as the mental and emotional, because I started so early to cope with what were unexpressed and unresolved emotions and really trauma from I think several generations back in my family, but certainly I can see where with my father and my mother there were instances that because of who they were and their personalities and the time, you know, the period in history, they really hadn't dealt with. And I somehow picked up on those things and experienced that in my body, and there was no forum for really expressing that. And somehow in my little child mind, and I've learned that this is pretty typical for children, I sort of assumed that you know, it was my responsibility to do something about it. It was actually, in some way, my fault if they weren't doing okay. So I learned very early, and my mother trained me this way because she had brought her own eating. I'm not going to label anybody as having eating disorders, but my mother was, she really, really, really liked sweets and really, really liked foods, and so do I. And the one thing, in fact, I'm going to read a little something that I just happened, 5 minutes, thank you, that I just happened to write this morning, just kind of popped out. I have many gaps in my memory of childhood, but what I ate remains as clear in my mind and on my tongue as if it were yesterday. And that's true. I the food, and especially the desserts, which were there every single night, were at the end of the meal, and I think it was my place where I took in the kind of sustenance and love that I could. Okay, what happened? We're going to fast forward. My sister, from whom I've been estranged for many, many years, and we, you know, I'm open to a relationship, and we have little connections every once in a while, but basically, because of who she is and because of who I was for a long time, there's not a lot of closeness. And I spent a lot of my younger, sort of young adult years, kind of like a puppy trying to get her to like me and pay attention to me. And I heard from her husband-to-be that she was, at the time they met, she was eating only ice cream and throwing up blood. And I remembered that when she was in high school, she had lost all her hair from dieting so seriously and actually wore a wig her senior year in high school. So there was serious eating stuff going on. And my response to that in my early 20s was to become bulimic myself. And I've thought about that. This is sort of a curious response, but I think it was some strange attempt to sort of get closer to my sister. I don't know. Anyway, I was bulimic for about 25 years. By the grace of God, I did not engage in the behavior every day, multiple times a day. I didn't ruin my body as a result. But it became a strategy for managing the food and also another strategy for managing the emotions. And that carried through until about the age of 50. When that stopped, in that middle period, I also, got through graduate school and worked and had two children and got married and was dealing with some challenges in the marriage some challenges with the children. One of my children has turned out to have a mental illness, and that was actually, if I look back, was obviously coming early on. And I dealt with that, those emotions, really through the food, through numbing myself. I think during that period of time, my connection spiritually was, boy, it was kind of course it was out there. I was being watched over. Higher power had my back, but I was not aware of that. And for some reason, about 50, I realized I didn't want, and my husband never picked up on the behavior. Nobody knew I was bulimic. I engaged in all the crazy behaviors. But I felt like I needed to tell my children about this, and that kind of helped to stop that behavior. But then I went into binging on sweets. I would manage, you know, I would eat just a little bit during the day, and then I would very carefully go to a store and get what I wanted, cut it into little pieces, and include some fruit because that's healthy. And then I go to a double bill movie. This was what I called my therapy. I go to a double bill movie and sit in the dark and eat this stuff, you know? And this happened multiple times a week. And I can remember driving up to a movie through the traffic and being absolutely frantic. I wanted to get there because I really wanted to eat that food. And once the food was over, if you'd asked me when I walked out of the theater what I'd seen, most of the time I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even know. So I also was getting some outside help. And the first outside help, not the first, but a very important outside help was another 12-step program, which I'll mention, Al-Anon. Which I actually went to when I started having trouble with my son who became mentally ill, and this was when he was 2.5 years old. So during that period of time when I was raising the kids, I did have this program, and boy, when I say where was my spiritual connection, okay, that began to introduce me to the idea of the kind of practical spirituality that is in the 12 steps. I was trying meditation, I was trying a whole lot of things, but I think the first really kind of spiritual experience that resonated with me in terms of practical application,
five more.
Was through the 12 steps. So what happened? I was in a pretty intensive therapeutic situation and had decided that it was pretty much time to end that. I was 60 years old at the time. And I knew that my last session was coming up on a Monday evening, and I had planned that weekend before to go into San Francisco on my own and walk and stop in stores and just enjoy myself. I was going to go in on the ferry, which I did. And all I could think about in planning that trip was the bakeries and the candy stores that I was going to stop at and the food that I was going to buy. And this was new because I hadn't binged and purged for quite a number of years. But that's exactly what I did on that weekend. And I thought, whoa. And I mentioned this to the therapist this last session. And she said, oh, you might want to consider OA. And I almost went like this, you know. I was so used to controlling my food and managing my food that the idea of doing anything else about food was just, I couldn't imagine it. Well, it turns out that there was a Monday night meeting, essentially at the same time that my therapy appointment had been, and I thought, oh, well, I'll just try it. And the reason, you know, I grabbed this chip today in part is because my feeling was, okay, I've been in a 12-step program for years. I've gotten so much recovery, and that is in fact true. I don't think I could be in this room if it weren't for the fact of the recovery that I had in Al-Anon. That's the path that I had to take first. But I went to that first meeting, and I just broke down crying. I felt so heard and seen, because of course the truth that I had not been talking about was my disturbed relationship with food. And that's how I think of qualifying for this program. It isn't about our size, it isn't about our, you know, what we've done. It's really about our relationship with food and how we feel about that relationship. And really, I was not willing to look at that until I was 60 years old. So I came in, and the spiritual aspect of the program has become super, super important to me, and I feel like my spiritual practice has deepened, and that has included, OANA, they're all 12 steps, but I'm talking about OA. Has enabled me to really understand what it means to have God with skin on. Because I had a very private relationship to my higher power. I mean, I still do, and I value that enormously. But to allow that to be expressed through other people and to allow myself to express that spirituality with other people has really been a very important gift of this program. And interestingly enough, as I find myself here, having injured my back for the second time since the middle of May, and I'm somebody who, until the first injury, really didn't know what it was like to be in acute pain, I realized that I'm really needing to look at the physical aspect of recovery in a new way. And it's not just about the food, it's really about the level of self-care. I mean, this injury has forced me to slow down and to see how in so many aspects of my life, big surprise, my personality shows up. Just the way binging and purging, which is, I gotta have it all, and then I got rid of it, and it's never enough, and I gotta have more. That kind of driven kind of going after something, you know, shows up in every area of my life. And in fact, I re-injured myself because I didn't recognize, I didn't know, I'm still learning about my body, because honestly, until I was in my I don't know, really, really advanced age, I kind of existed from here up, you know. I've learned that when you injure your back, it can take, you know, 6 or 7 months to recover, even though you're walking fine, you're going swimming, you seem to be fine. No, you lift up one heavy thing without paying attention and you're back in the same place. I didn't know that. Well, it's for me, it's actually one of the exciting things about recovery, is that at 72 years old, I'm still learning things. And I'm still willing to learn things. And it makes life, it makes it worth being here, really. What else do I want to say? I've been listening to podcasts. This is a stretch for me. And I'll just finish with this. I highly recommend them. When I went on my vacation, I didn't know if I'd get to be any meetings, but I knew I needed to keep the program with me. And somebody in the program helped me download some on my phone. And I've been listening. I do about 40 minutes of physical therapy every day, and I listen to a podcast each day. And it's been so wonderful. And I've got to say, I really love the format of having questions and answers afterwards. So one of the things I'm going to do is suggest at some meeting that we have that maybe we include that in some way in our meetings here, because I notice that after the meeting, often people will sort of wait in line to talk one-on-one with the person who's spoken. And I think it's really valuable. I find it really valuable to hear other people's questions and hear the answers. So since I have to sit in a chair, I can't stand. If any of you have questions, gather around afterwards. We'll have a little. Okay, thanks for letting me share.